Good morning, church. I will be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that we'll be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then.
Amen. Nice job, Mark. As I told him before, he should be like on the YouVersion app narrating the scriptures. He does a really, really great job. Hey, good morning. And welcome to a brand new series called Abide. We're going to go lots of different directions. On Wednesday night, we're going to be in Hebrews 11 talking about by faith in the Old Testament. Throughout the fall, and then on Sundays, we're going to really just sit in John 15 a lot, other places like Galatians 5 and others, but really talking about things like pruning, things like ditching outcomes, things like what is this fruit, how do you abide. We're going to sit here all fall, so I'm looking very forward to that. I'd love to start our time in prayer. Number one for the Braves, because they're going to need it today at 1 o'clock. By the way, who you got, Braves or Reds? Just hold your hand up. Who's got Braves today? Well, you guys are optimistic. Reds? Who's got the Reds? Oh, okay, you just decided not to vote. That's fine. It's whatever. But there you go, yeah. Hey, one thing I'd love to do, too, this week is a big week in our area and across the nation because kids are going back to school this week. A lot of kids are going back to school. It means teachers are getting back after it. Yeah, okay. Some parents clapping for that. That's good. But man, teachers and administrators and parents and youth and kids, I mean, this is back in the routine this week. So I'd love to take a moment. Let's just pray, especially for our teachers. Man, God bless our teachers. All right, let's pray for them. Father, man, I pray that you will just be so thick in the school system this fall. Saturate environments, saturate hearts. The teachers, just give them an abundance of energy and just an ability to just to see you in the midst. It is a beautiful battlefield that they're entering, and I pray that you would just work so deeply. Renew their strength every step of the way. Father, we pray that this would be the best year in the school system yet. And we know it's got to be you in it for that to happen. So we ask, would you work deeply in this fall semester? We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today's message is titled, The Relational Vine. In this passage, we read that the Father is like the vine dresser. He takes the knife and he carefully and beautifully creates a wonderful plant. Jesus here, he's the vine, the true vine. He's where the energy to produce life actually is. And we are the branches. There is no energy to produce life in the branches, only in the vine. Thus, for the Christian faith, our role is to abide, which is to connect ourselves to the vine, to stay, to remain, or to hang out with him. In fact, the New Testament refers to our very identity by our abiding. You see the term Christian only really one time in the New Testament, and it's a derogatory term, but you do see about 200 times us being called in Christ. So next time somebody asks you, well, what about your faith? Tell them you're someone who is connected to Christ. You're someone who remains in Christ. That was the entire identifier for the Christians in the New Testament. We're connected to the source of life, the vine, that is Jesus. That is our identifier in the Christian faith. And as we connect, that's when fruit is produced. Now, today I want to spend most of our time talking about the true vine, but I first have to take a step back and talk about what kind of fruit are we really talking about when we talk about fruit being produced. We're not talking about fruit like your kids or any kind of external type of fruit. Really, what we're talking about is this internal fruit. In fact, Jesus says himself in John 15, 11, as Mark just read for us, that this is, if we abide in him and we connect to him, then the fullness of joy comes about. That's the kind of fruit he's talking about. Internal fruit, peace, love, joy, all those things. And make no mistake, the entire world is after peace and joy and love and that deep contentment within ourselves, right? The problem comes whenever we try to produce those things or manufacture those things on our own. How could a branch just strain to produce fruit? It just doesn't work that way. And the world does that. They try to go and find it, man, just earn it, earn life, earn internal fruit. It doesn't work that way. Now, we'll get to that a little bit later on, but let's get to the true vine. What is Jesus saying here when he says he is the true vine? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, it is the nation of Israel that is often referred to as the vine. And every step of the way, this vine simply cannot get it done. The imagery of the New Testament is that this vine is withering, is burning, is rotting, and it can't sustain life. The people of Israel, every step of the way, they have this grace from God, and they get distracted. I mean, God does this incredibly gracious act to free them out of captivity in Egypt. And along the way, they get distracted. They turn and they look, oh, look at this beautiful fake cow. Let's worship it instead of God, the one who delivered us from slavery. And by the way, this isn't an Israel problem. This is a human nature problem. We get distracted very often today, too. Just the other day, I'm going to check a Facebook message, and I come across this husband and wife prank video. So, you know, you had to watch that. And then it led me to this car chase video, which the algorithm knows me because I am a sucker for a good car chase. So I'm, you know, 10, 12 minutes into this car chase, and I'm going, what am I doing? I just came to check a Facebook message. This is what we do. And that's what they did then, and that's what we do now. Distracted by some fake, beautiful cow and start worshiping it. So over and over again, in the Old Testament, they're going, we can't really be the vine. We can't really produce the life. It rots, it fades, it withers, it gets burned up. It's just not enough. So then when we get to Psalm 80, the people of Israel start to really acknowledge this. They go, God, give us a different vine. We can't do it. We can't sustain life. So in Psalm 80, verse 17, it says this. It says, let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. This is an entirely different vine that they're asking for. They're saying, there's got to be a vine out there that has life to continue to revive and awaken our souls. And it's not us. We can't do it. Send another, please, God. This is a cry of humble desperation from people saying, we can't do it. So then that's what's so beautiful about John 15 when we get here. This is a culture-shattering moment of time in John 15. See, when he says he's the true vine, he's saying, you got to get this. You got to stay with me. You got to cling to me because I am now the vine and you are simply the branches. The pressure is off. And the reason this is culture-shifting, because what he's doing here is he's saying it's no longer about a works-based religion. This is about a grace-based relationship. Huge difference. See, again, in the Old Testament, the religion is do enough, have life. But Jesus is saying, guess what? I'm not asking you to do enough. I'm not asking you to be the vine that produces life. I'm that vine. I'm the true vine. All you got to do is just connect yourself to me. Isn't that beautiful? Man, like we said last week, our righteousness doesn't amount to very much. I mean, us saying, here, God, I'm earning life with you. It's kind of like in the imagery I used last week, I apologize, it's kind of dark, but it's kind of like throwing up in a box, wrapping it up, and handing it to God and saying, here you go, God, I got you this great, great gift. It just never gets there. It's never enough. And so what the people of the Old Testament started to do is they started to say, well, we can't get there. That bar is too high. We can't get to righteousness on our own. So what we're going to do is we're actually just going to compare ourselves to other people. we're just going to make sure that we're doing a little better than our neighbor. You ever catch yourself doing that? I'm like, I don't know what it is about the human spirit, but when I mow before my neighbor does, I puff my chest out a little bit. Like, I'm on top of it. Let's go. There's something in us. It's strange, right? I went to church today, and my friend slept in. God must be proud of me, right? That kind of mentality. Jesus is squashing that notion here. It's kind of like you've probably heard this analogy about trying to jump across the Atlantic Ocean. The Atlantic Ocean, 3,700 miles away. If that's the goal, you quickly realize, I can't jump across the Atlantic Ocean. So then you move the goalpost and you say, let me just jump farther than my friend, and then I'll be in good shape. It reminds me of, and Travis Ledford, he's gonna kill me for this, but if you watch Travis Ledford jump off the dock last year, who saw that? The backflip he did? That was awesome, wasn't it? I mean, that was cool. Travis is like probably, I don't know, 6'4", 6'5", athletic dude. If you and him jumped towards the Atlantic Ocean, he would jump out farther than you. But here's the thing. How dumb would he sound, and he would never do this because he's a humble guy. Okay, let's just be clear about that. But how dumb would he be if he was like, hey, when you jumped, you still have 3,699 miles, 5,287 feet to go. And when I jumped, I only have 3,699 miles, 5,275 feet to go. Look at me. Sounds dumb, doesn't it? Isn't that what we do? The measurement is not against other people. The measurement is against the holy God. Remember, the goal was to jump across the Atlantic. We can't do it. That's the whole point here. Our righteousness amounts to nothing. Jesus is the one who has life. Jesus is the true vine. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, stop with those games of righteousness. In the Old Testament, they tried over and over and over again, couldn't do it. Stop it. I'm the vine. Just connect to me. See, it's a whole game changer here. Now, Christianity is not about a works-based religion. It is about connecting relationally to the God who is so gracious to us to provide life to us in the first place. Man, we can't earn life. We simply must connect to the one who is life. We can't produce our own fruit. See, Christianity is not about ability. It's about abiding. In the Christian faith, intimacy always precedes activity. It is relationship. It is connection. It is him producing the fruit as we just connect ourselves to him. Now, I got to be honest. Men, connection doesn't come quite as easily to us as it does for women, does it? I live with all females. Sometimes I will say, and they're not here this morning. They're not feeling well, so I can feel free to say whatever I want, right? As if there's not video. But sometimes I'll say, hey, what do you guys want to do? And oftentimes they'll say, hey, let's just talk. And I'm going, no, let's like go do something or watch a football game or watch a movie or, you know, something like that. And the way that I can always get them to collectively sigh is I'll say, I know what let's do. Let's watch the movie Die Hard. And they, of course, go, no. By the way, that's my favorite all-time movie. And also, by the way, save your messages. Okay, they haven't seen the movie, all right? It's not appropriate for children, probably not even for adults. But the point being, men, oftentimes, we want adventure. We want to go and do things. And by the way, God has designed us that way, and that's a good thing, and we shouldn't be ashamed about that. But Jesus also says, first and foremost, you got to connect. You got to connect yourself to the vine. That's where you experience good fruits in your life, is by connection to the vine. And men, that doesn't make us soft to connect, by the way. I mean, you look at the New Testament, Paul, that dude was a man. He went through some stuff. And yet, at the same time, it says that he admonishes people with tears. I mean, he just connects relationally to God and to other people. Or David in the Old Testament, dude kills lions and bears with his bare hands. That's a man right there. And yet, he also writes poems unto the Lord and connects relationally to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with connection. In fact, that's where everything starts. If you want to have good fruit in your life, the first thing you have to do is connect. Gotta connect. So, let's talk connection to the vine practically. How do you connect to Christ? Well, first, it's through his word. Jesus says in this passage, remain in his word. He says, connect to him by remaining in his words. The words he has spoken, just stay there, cling tightly to them, especially in trying times. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So good fruit gets produced through meditating on his word, sitting with his word. And by the way, if you're wanting to find some words to sit on, in this passage in John 15, if you go down just a few verses, Jesus does this incredible thing. He calls us his friends. I mean, that, look, we should sharpen up on theology and things all day long, and we should get rooted there. But some of those simple truths, like Jesus calling us friends, I mean, that should inform some things right there. I mean, think about the celebrity or whoever you look up to most if they called you friend. For me, growing up, ever since I was a kid, I loved Denzel Washington. If that dude, even today, said, Dallas, you're my friend, I mean, that would mean something to me. That would have an impact on me. Now, imagine the God who created the entire universe calling us friends. Now, that should inform some things if we will meditate on his word, if we will sit there in his word. How might that change some things if we meditate on the words of Jesus throughout our day? Jesus says in another parable, he says, that the word is like a seed planted. And when that seed gets planted on our hearts, it starts to produce life above the surface. If we are meditating on his words, that's where good fruit will be produced. Number two, connect yourself to the rest of his body. Choose the ways of love to affirm, to encourage, to edify the body of Christ, which is the church. In my devotion that I did last week, if you follow on Facebook, we talked about how really we're not really much of a build-up culture in general today. We're more of a tear-down culture. We're always kind of looking for the problem in something, aren't we? Looking to complain, looking not to really be vulnerable and build people up. And yet, Jesus himself calls the Holy Spirit the advocate. He advocates while the enemy accuses and tears down. What would it look like next time, man, somebody is just complaining and complaining and complaining and complaining? Just build them up. Build them up. Encourage. And in so doing, what we're doing is we're connecting ourselves to the ways of Jesus in that, and we're allowing him to create good fruit in those relationships whenever we just sit there in that. He says this in this passage. He says, love each other deeply, just the way, by the way, he loved us. Give up your life. Lay it down for each other. Connect, connect, connect with the body of Christ. Now, these are just a couple of ways to connect yourself to Jesus, and we're going to talk about a lot more in this series, but the main takeaway I want you to have from today is to know that it is connection before it is behavior in the Christian faith. It's connection, it's connection, it's connection. In fact, in the New Testament, you see this relational language all over the place. You see us, for the first time, be able to proclaim God as Father. That's a relationship. He's not just God, he's our Father. And we see Jesus as a friend. We see Jesus as a brother. This is this relational language. We are children of God. It's relational language. It's that first and foremost before we do anything. And I love when, before Jesus starts his ministry, the Father says to the Son, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased with." And he hadn't done anything yet. He hasn't performed a miracle yet. He hasn't done any signs yet. And yet, it is relationship first and foremost before there is action. Now, worship team, as you guys come on up, let me address something that I know is in all of our hearts. We want to know very quickly, where is all the fruit? We could be like that kid that's like, hey, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you're like, we just pulled out of the driveway. Come on. That's how we are very often, isn't it? Look to the fruit, look to the fruit, look to the fruit. Here's what we got to shift to, though, in the Christian faith. We don't need to look to the fruit. When's the peace coming? When's the joy coming? Instead, we have to focus and fix our eyes on connecting to the vine. And in the process, he will at some point begin to produce that fruit with us, without us having to monitor it. You don't have to hug Jesus and like have one eye open, like, did that fruit get produced yet? It's not how it works. We just sit with him, we focus on him, and in so doing, he will produce fruit. And guys, I know a lot of you, man, you're going through some stuff, you've been burdened, you've struggled with things like divorce or depression or sin habits that just seem insurmountable and things, and I'm just telling you, don't even focus on trying to get those things to end. Instead, focus on him. Fix your eyes on him, abide in him, connect relationally with him, and he is the one who will produce good fruit in your lives. And when? I don't know. But I do know sometimes it's immediately and sometimes it takes some time. But the focus is still the same. Just abide. A few of you, I told this story to this week, but Monday night I was getting dressed in, you don't need to know all the details. I was in my room, and one of my daughters burst through the door, and she knows the rules. She knows, you know, you knock on the door, you know, before you come in and stuff, but she burst through the door, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," and I know she's excited about something, because she doesn't do this, you know, very often. She's like, "Daddy, you got to come downstairs. You got to come downstairs now," and I said, "Okay, yeah, let me just get some clothes on, come downstairs, you know, and check out whatever it is you're talking about." So I come downstairs. She takes me outside into the backyard, and it's been a long time since I've just been kind of like frozen like this. I just, wow. Let me back up. About 8 years ago, my wife Morgan miscarried a little girl named Allie Grace, and Morgan's parents at the time, just a beautiful, wonderful gift that they gave us. They gave us this self-pollinating apple tree. And planted it kind of in honor, you know, of Allie Grace. A few years go by, and we're, you know, trying to take care of this plant as best we can, as best we know how, and it's not really producing any fruit. And we sell our house, and when we sold our house, we were like, look, it's not really producing any fruit, but it's so sentimental to us because it's like the last thing that connects us to Allie Grace, so let's just take it with us. So we took it on that move, we uprooted it, we took it to the next move, and we planted it at our house now, and it hadn't grown, looked like it's dying. It was more just a sentimental thing for us. Couldn't part with it. Well, flash forward to Monday night, and one of my daughters playing out in the backyard sees this apple hanging from the tree. And we picked it, and we ate it, and it was the best apple we ever had. God is so kind to us, isn't he? Here's the point. You don't know when God's going to produce fruit in your life, but it's not up to us to monitor it. It's up to us to just focus in on Him and connect to Him. And when He's ready to do it, He will produce peace and joy and love and all those things that the human heart is after. And the question is, will we just simply stay close to the vine? I mean, so many of us, we want that peace, but yet we just, on the day-to-day, we're not just connecting to Him. You know what I mean? We're not just sitting with Him. We're not just staying with Him. And we wonder, where's the peace? Where's the joy? It's from abiding. It's from sitting. It's from not looking to the fruit. It's to looking to the vine, the source of life. So where are you in your abiding? It's really the question here this morning. Are you connecting with Him? Here's what I'd love to do to end our time. I'd love to just create a little room for us to do just that in this moment. Let's take a moment to connect with Him. If it's helpful, close your eyes. Ask Him, God, are we connected? I mean, are we relationally connected? God, is there anything I need to disconnect to in order to connect more deeply with You? Is there unforgiveness in my heart that I just need to disconnect from? Is there bitterness? Is there anger? Is there frustration? Is there, man, I just feel so wronged and I keep connecting myself to it. I want to disconnect from it. Is there any of that at play, God? Father, reshape our thinking. It's not an earning. It's not a works-based religion. It is a grace-based relationship. Help us, first and foremost, to know it's just connecting ourselves to You. You are the source of life. You produce the fruit. Help us just to sit with You. Father, today, before we lay our head down, before we get up in the morning, God, help make us a people of abiding deeply with You. And perhaps, if we'll do that, when the storm comes, when the tragedy comes, be able to stay and hang out with You, because You are our everything. So we declare that this morning. Oh, we love You so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you need to come down to the altar and pray, I'd love to pray with you. But aside from that, let's connect to Him during this worship time together.